Revelation 13, the beast from out of the sea, the Antichrist is marching on, he's moving forward. You know, there's competing powers in the universe. Of course, you have God and His power, what He's planning on doing. You have the devil doing the best he can to stop it, but he can't. He's on losing end no matter. You know why? Because there's power in the blood. Amen? That's a great song. You know, I was sitting there reading those words and I was thinking, you know, would you be free from your passion and pride? You know, the same blood that saves us can cleanse us and make us more like Jesus. There's power in that blood. And I'm glad that it's not just saving power, it's everything else. It's sanctification powers. Power for holiness, all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for that. Something about the little theme song that Wendell almost forgot to sing. We did. You know, with the Spirit helping me, I'll be more like Him. And may God help us this week to be more like Jesus. Revelation 13, it says in verse number 1, there appeared, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. I was reading 12, not 13. Saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns upon his head. 10 crowns upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. By the way, if you were standing on the edge of the ocean and you saw this character rise up out of there, I got an idea you probably wouldn't hang out very long. Amen. Well, he did, and it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. This is what Satan has been after all along, ever since the Garden of Eden. Hey, if you'll fall down and worship me, he's been trying to get man to worship him. And finally, he accomplishes that right at the end of the tribulation. And he gets it to happen for about 3.5 years. And then that's it for him. But he gets everybody to worship. And the Bible says in verse number 4, says they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, not just the devil, but also the Antichrist, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And you can go ahead and mark in your Bible, that's temporary. It's temporary. He may kill them in the tribulation, but to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Amen. He may think, well, I'm doing away with it. No, he's not. He's really given them the greatest gift he could ever give them other than salvation, a home in heaven forever and ever. And it says, and power was given him over, notice this, all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse number 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. We started out last week dealing with what we call the satanic trinity. And you have Satan as the great imitator. And you'll see that in a couple of these verses. And last week we dealt with number 1, the appearance of the beast, all right? How he originates. He originates from the sea. The sea here is kind of a representation of the masses of humanity. And we don't really know exactly where he'll come from or what people group or anything. If you read all kinds of commentaries, you'll read a multitude of different theories on this. Daniel 11:37 makes a reference, says he will not regard the God of his fathers. So it's an indication this man may be an apostate Jew, as somebody that raised in Judaism and turned his back on it. I'm not really sure about that. But I know how he operates. I don't know exactly where he comes from, but I know how he operates. Whenever you see the seven heads, and the seven heads is talking about the one world religion. And I want to tell you, mankind has been gathering together over the last several years, the last couple centuries, trying to join together under the banner of something. And who knows what's going to unite them all together. It seems like climate change and green energy may be the thing that many of them worship. Most of the major religions of the world, they kind of fall in with that. You have the Pope recently is talking about it. You have some of the imams in different parts of the world talking about it. You have the Buddhist monks and all. And so you have all of these major religions, not to mention the Methodists. Who knows what Methodists are doing nowadays? They've gone so far away from their roots. It's shocking. It really is. But you see, the world religion, the great harlot, of course, we know that that is an apostate religion, an apostate church, and it's got to be rooted somehow or another in the Roman Catholic Church. The ten horns, or ten kings, maybe even be ten groups of nations around the world. But we know what all of these leaders and all of this religion, what they'll do. They'll blaspheme the one holy God. They are united in this, their hatred of God. Now, they may not come right out and say it. They may, kind of sneak around about it and all. But they don't want a God that tells them how to live their lives. And then you see the picture of him, and he has a body like a leopard. He has feet like a bear. He has a mouth like a lion. And he's called a beast, a wild animal. I believe that this man, this Antichrist, he'll be engineered. He'll be empowered by Satan, and he will be one of the most ruthless, vilest, villainous, vicious, that's all the V words I can think of, world rulers there's ever been. And nobody can stand against him. He will destroy anybody that does. And if you look at it, his rise to power will be swift. You know, years ago, it took a while for somebody to kind of rise through politics. And, you had your political families, you had the Roosevelts and those types of families. So you kind of knew what was going on. But then all of a sudden, Bill Clinton kind of walked onto the scene years ago. You know, an Arkansas governor rises to become the president of the United States. And at that point, I was asking myself, I wonder who the real power behind the power is. You know, who would elect, Bill or Hillary Clinton to be president? And then the next one was Barack Obama, a junior senator from Illinois, has never even held a regular job his entire life, had accomplished nothing except for fake his way in a fake birth certificate, fake his way through college and smoke a lot of dope, apparently, and not even really pass law school, and somehow or another became the president of the United States. Shazam, he just wakes up one day, there he is, he's anointed. Well, you know what happens? There are a lot of people working behind the scenes on these things. And it happens rather swiftly. You know, Joe Biden, he's waited for what, 70, 90, 80, 90 years, 100 years to get in office. Now he is. And he's president, and he doesn't even know it. But this man would be called a beast, a wild animal. Can I tell you something? We've seen Joe Biden be pretty ferocious. You know, this last speech, for him to have the military people standing behind him, I wonder what the underlying meaning of that was. I've got all the power and there's nothing you can do about it. Ferocious, vicious. We're seeing that more and more in the area of politics and all that. You know why? Because our world's becoming more and more violent. It's becoming more and more wicked. And really what it's doing is it's setting up for this man, the Antichrist. This man will rise to power swiftly. I think he'll be basically an unknown of sorts to common people, not among the power brokers, they'll know. But he'll have feet like a bear. He'll crush his opponents. He'll have a mouth like a lion. He'll devour those. And the Bible just calls him brutal, savage, and ferocious. That's what the phrase beast means. And he officiates because Satan has given him his power. So you have the appearance. I never picked up verse number 3. This is where we left off last week. Now it begins to get a little bit more interesting. As you read these verses, remember, keep this in mind, Satan is the great imitator. All right? So keep that in mind. Verse number 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. All right, what does that mean? He died. And then, and his deadly wound was healed. What happened? Apparently there's a resurrection of sorts. So we have the achievements. He'll receive the world's wonder, first of all. And you notice it says, all the world wandered after the beast. Some point during the Antichrist's reign, I don't know exactly where to be. His reign is not that long, three and a half years, 4 years. And, you know, it'll actually be 7, but really the indwelling of Satan will happen at halfway at the tribulation period. And then things really ramp up. At some point in all this, he may be assassinated, he may die of something else, but the world watches and they'll mourn over his death. Could you imagine if Queen Elizabeth would have walked out of the place where she was laying at last couple of days? What would happen to the world? The world would go bananas, wouldn't it? Well, I would too. I find it hard to believe. But this man is going to somehow or another die. I want you to know, Satan is an imitator. He even imitates the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that he probably engineers this whole thing and sets it up so it happens. This man will die and rise again, and the world will wander after him. Here he has it. At this point, he'll have the world right where he wants it. Because notice what happens in verse number 4. It says, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He receives the entire worship of the world. Whether the resurrection is real or it's just a little bit of, what does the one writer say? Satanic sleight of hand. It could be, some way that it could fool people. The citizens of the world will be taken in. They'll be caught up, so caught up in this, that they will wonder at the Antichrist and they will begin to worship him. The world will bow down to this king of hell and give him what they have steadfastly refused to give to God, worship. The devil thinks he has turned the tables now. He thinks he has finally won. While heaven rejoices over the fact that the devil's been cast out, those on the earth are going to give their worship to the devil. The world will declare the Antichrist, this beast, to be undefeatable. He even defeated death. Nobody can, when they fail to understand, is this, there's coming a day where the one will make war with him. And the one will defeat him. The Bible tells us about those times in Revelation 19 and Revelation 20. I love, every once in a while I read these verses and I think, man, it's going to get really tough. And then I read this verse and it says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And when I read these verses, I have to look over Revelation 19 and 20, and I remember, we win. We win. His victory is just kind of temporary, and God is doing all of this for a purpose. You know, Jesus Christ will be able to defeat the devil's superhuman with really no problem. But here's what I want you to know. You see in these verses that he overcomes and deals with the saints. But he doesn't really defeat them. Look at it with me in chapter 12, verse number 10. Chapter 12, verse number 10, it says, now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them
before our God night and day. Verse number 11, here it is. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb. What we were singing about just a moment ago. Satan may be able to turn his wrath upon the saints of God. There'll be quite a few people saved during the tribulation period. He will not be able to kill the two witnesses until it's their time. He'll not be able to kill the 144,000 witnesses. He'll not be able to stop the four angels going around the world and preaching the everlasting gospel. So who's left? Those that have become Christians. And he'll engineer the most vilest ways known to man to put them to death. But their suffering will be but for a short season. He'll think, I've overcome them. I've defeated them. Whenever they'll be singing hallelujah all the way to the cross, I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the truth that we may never get over. Satan has power and the Antichrist will have power, but one day they will face the one who has all power. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And my friend, that promise is not gone away. That truth is still real. He will defeat them. He will destroy them. And then one day, he will judge them. I don't know about you, but I'll be pretty glad of that. Because I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of the victories he's getting. I'm tired of the people that he's deceiving and all of that. And so you and I, whenever we cry out to God, oh Lord, how long, we're joining with a pretty good crowd. Amen. Because there's a crowd in heaven even today crying out, Lord, how long? How long? You know, how much longer are you going to let this go on? So you see the appearance of the beast. He seemingly comes out of nowhere, but he's a man prepared for the time. Once again, I believe that the devil has somebody or maybe many somebodies prepared in each generation because he doesn't know. And so those people can kind of sweep into power. And then you see the achievements of the beast. What he's going to do is he's going to achieve the world's worship. He's going to receive the world's wonder. And then let's look lastly tonight at the activities. His activities. Verse number 5, all right, it says, who is able to make war with him? In verse number 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. The Antichrist will use his newfound power over men to further Satan's agenda. These verses tell us what kind he'll be. First of all, I want you to see with me, he's a man that defies God. He openly defies God. Apparently, he'll be a man with great speaking ability. Great speaking ability. He'll be able to move the masses with the power of his tongue. If you've ever seen films of Adolf Hitler, how many of you have seen some of those old reels of Adolf Hitler? Joanne was alive that time, so she probably tells a little bit about it. But, you know, back in the 30s. And so you have Adolf Hitler. If you guys have ever seen those films speaking before those masses of people, you ever seen those? And I'm telling you, that little fella could stir up a crowd like really none other up to that point in history. And he could just whip them into a frenzy. I had no idea what he was saying because it was all in German. And I don't speak German. But it sounded like people right along with him. Turned a lot of good people into people that hated another race entirely. He convinced an entire group of people that they were superior, that they would be better off by simply eliminating an entire race of people. He convinced the German people of these things, and his words brought innumerable suffering and really innumerable death. Millions, tens of millions. Hitler once said this, he said, you say something long enough and loud enough and people will eventually believe you. They're doing it right now in our world. Hey, everything's good. We're not in recession. There's no inflation. Yeah, amen. They think if they repeat it, and you know what? There's a bunch of people that fall right into that. You know why? Because they bought them off. They bought them off by taking my money and most of y'all's money and giving it to them to help pay off their student loans. By the way, if you graduate from college and you can't get a job good enough in order to pay off your student loan, maybe you ought to be suing the college.
instead of letting the government pay for it. But there's no such thing as a student loan buyout or payoff or anything. What it is a transfer of wealth in America. And I don't know, but it would be nice if our Congress would stand up, but they're not going to because they're all of the same mindset. The president doesn't have that constitutional authority to do it, but nothing stopped the last four or five presidents from doing a lot of things unconstitutional. Every time a president writes an executive order, he doesn't have the constitutional authority to do that. There's no such thing as that written in the Constitution. They just made that up years ago. And it's gotten worse and worse. And boy, what's happened is it's produced a king making rules against the will of the majority of the people. But less free. But you know, that's what's going to happen. And you see it, and you know, you think, wow, how can these things spiral out of control? Hey, the last, 24 months have really spiraled out of control in a lot of ways. With the Antichrist comes his power with words will make Hitler seem like a babbling idiot. He will move. He will galvanize not just one nation, but the nations of the world. With the power of his words, he will speak great things and they will believe him. He'll speak blasphemies against the God of heaven. They'll worship him. He will use his word to attack everything that has to do with God. And here's the sad part. The world is going to hang on to his every word. No doubt they're going to do like they did Herod back in the day. Oh, wow, the oracles of God are coming forth out of that man's heart. He'll do everything in his power to turn humanity against God. Why? Because behind the Antichrist is the devil, and he hates man. He'll even declare himself to be God. So we see that he defies God. All right? Look at it here, verse number 5. It says, let's back up a little moment. It says in verse number 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. His power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And then in verse number 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now we know that this overcoming is just a simple temporary time, but you know, it'd be so much better for these saints if they would have gotten saved before the rapture. Millions will probably be saved after the rapture, and millions will probably give their life for the cause of Christ. And I believe, once again, that it'll be in the most horrendous ways. If you guys have ever read any of the ways that the Roman Catholic Church through the ages has put to death Christians, you'll be shocked. You know, you read about them putting them on the rack and all of it, drowning them, and just on and on and on. Horrible ways. Well, imagine what technology has brought about. What they'll be able to do to people. So he destroys the saints. He'll make it his mission to seek out and destroy anyone who still worships God. It'll be pretty easy because those that don't worship God won't have the mark. I hear this all the time. People said it with the COVID shot. They say it with the flu shot. They say it with all kinds of things. Oh, that's the mark of the beast. Don't worry. When the mark of the beast comes out, it won't be snuck in. You'll know what you're getting. And you'll be getting it as a form of worship. You'll understand that. You'll know that. It won't be something that'll be smoke and mirrors. It won't be, well, we're going to give you a shot. Whoop. Look. If they offered it where I could have my credit card number tattooed on my forehead invisibly, I'd say, put it on there. My phone number, could you imagine? I just think about it. I'm making a phone call in my head. That'd be so awesome. I wouldn't have to carry a wallet. I wouldn't have to remember a social security number. I can't even hardly remember that now. I wouldn't have to worry about any of that. I'd just say, charge it, or just swipe my head. There you go. All right. That's not the mark of the beast. That'd just be technology and probably be a little silly, you know, because what would happen? Some criminal want to cut your hand off, your head off. I'd rather them to steal my wallet than my head, you know, amen. So I can function without my wallet, but I'd miss my head, Andrew, all right? So, but this man is going to destroy the saints, and one of the ways he's going to do that is he's going to work out a system so that he's going to be able to identify them. How's he going to be able to identify them? Well, number one, they're not going to have the mark of the beast. Number two, at that point, they're going to be able to monitor all of your communication. Duh, that doesn't seem like it's too far in the future, does it? If you told us 25 years ago, hey, the government's going to create a device and they want you to carry it around with you so that they can track your every movement, we would have overturned our government 25 or 30 years ago. But here we are. We carry them in our pockets now. Amen. Our Apple Watches count how many steps we make. It tells them where all we've been. And you know, if you just saw the other day that the lady that was a representative here in the state of Indiana, her and her two aides that were killed in an accident a little while ago, you know, they've been doing an investigation on that wreck to find out what all happened. Well, they took the black box out of the car. By the way, all new cars made from about 2010 on have some sort of black box mechanism, and it's matched in with the cruise control and all of that. And so it's in there. It's like a plane. And they were able to pull all the data off of that, and they found out that just a few milliseconds before the crash happened, that the car was doing 83 miles an hour, that it had just swerved over into the left lane. And eyewitness accounts say that it looked like this. Was she a senator or representative? I think she's a representative, right? And her aide, a 24 or 28-year-old young man, was driving. And they were behind a flatbed truck on a two-lane road. And so they kind of dropped back a little bit to get a little bit of a running start in order to pass. And so they got up to speed, 83 miles an hour apparently. And then he swerved over to go around. And whenever he did, he hit another car head on and killed all four people. Killed three people on the one and one person the other. But they were to track all that down right off of that. Plus they got all of their cell phone data, and they were able to check and make sure that nobody was using their phone at the time of the wreck. Listen, technology that is talking about even in here, how the devil's going to be able to track all these people, it's here. It's here. And it's going to be difficult for Christians to hide. It really is. They're not going to be able to buy or sell anything. Well, listen, COVID moved us 30 years ahead in getting rid of cash in our world. You know, how many times did we go into stores during the whole COVID thing? Well, we don't have correct change. No problem. It's $2.15. Here's $2. Amen. By the way, whenever I did that, they found correct change. I'm not giving you three, you know. If it's less than half, then I keep it. If it's more than half, then you keep it. Amen. But he destroys the saints. He will not be able to, as I said earlier, he'll not be able to defeat the 144,000 Jewish preachers. Can you imagine how angry this makes him? You got 144,000 virgin Jewish men that are going around the globe preaching the gospel, and he can't kill them. You have those two old guys, they're in Jerusalem, that are probably on the worldwide internet every day. They try to go against them, and they breathe fire out of their mouth, and they kill everybody. He can't stop them, so who does he turn his hatred to? I guarantee you he'll burn down every Bible-believing church building in the world. He'll massacre every family that he even thinks has a Bible, that has ever downloaded a copy of the Bible on their phone or their tablet. There will be no hiding from this. He will literally try to destroy. He'll try to stop them until his time is finished. And then we see not only does he try to destroy the saints, he does a good job at that, but he dominates the nations. And verse number 7, notice this, it says, and power was given him over, notice this, all kindreds and tongues and nations. He will be the ultimate world ruler. And in verse number 8, it says, and all that dwell. The word dwell there means to settle down. It's a there's more to it than just the word. If you look at the whole phrase that this is incorporated in, and the way that it's written, it literally means those who have chosen to make this world their home. Okay? By the way, you have a choice. You and I have a choice whether or not to make this world our home or heaven as our home. And the people that will be here, many of them will have chosen to make this world their home. They'll choose to take the mark of the beast. They won't be deceived into doing it. They will consciously, openly choose to take the mark of the beast. No man goes to heaven or hell because God allowed it. No, they make that choice. And they're going to purposely make it. But notice what happened. All that have chosen to make the world their home, shall worship Him. One of the saddest truths that I experience in my Christian life, and many of you will know what I'm talking about, is to see when someone kicks against God and kicks against God and kicks against God and goes chasing after the devil and the things of the devil, and God gives them what they want. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever God turns them over to that reprobate mind that they were chasing, they have no idea how far it's going to take them. And that's where we're at now at this point in the tribulation. We're a little over halfway into the tribulation, maybe even into the last part of it. And these people now are going to be fully engaged in worship of this satanic leader. And he deceives the masses. Everyone, every person who is not saved by God's grace will eventually bow and worship to Satan and his Antichrist. These people that decided that they weren't interested in heaven or anything that God can offer them, they've staked all their hopes and all their future on this world, God gives them what they want. And I'm going to tell you something that's sad. Because they have no idea the consequences of that decision. None. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then notice, verse number 9 is an interesting verse. It says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. I was thinking about that. I thought, I've read that before. So I started going back and I read in the other places. It's found in Revelation 2:7, 2:11, 2:17, 2:29, 3:6, 3:13, and 3:22. But you know what it says in those verses? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what's missing right here? Spirit and churches. Wow. Wow. There will be no church on this earth at this point. The church of the living God will be raptured up into heaven. And there will be some following after one by one, 10 by 10, or whatever. But the main body of the church has already gone up. And the Holy Spirit will not be working on earth like He is today. Out of all the things that I've read in this passage, I think that might be one of the saddest. Both the Spirit and the church are removed from the world at the rapture. You know what that tells us? The age of grace is over. The age of grace is ended and the world is in the grip of the great tribulation. Well, notice whenever God does speak, He doesn't warn His people. He warns the earth dwellers. Those that chose to make the earth their home. Look at it in verse number 10. He says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know what verse I'm reminded of? I don't think it has it as a cross reference to that verse, but it ought to. It ought to have Galatians 6:7 beside it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you live for the devil, you'll reap for the devil. If you reject Jesus, you'll be rejected by him. The time of choice is today. And then, verse number 10 has a little phrase at the end, like God saying, okay, I know that we've just really dealt with a very dark issue. And we have. I don't know about you, but and when I read those passages, especially going through it like we just have, there's a sense of foreboding, of fear even. Not fear for me, I know that but I have friends that if they live to this point, it's going to be tragic. But notice what it says at the end. It says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know what he's saying? Here's a word of hope. Here's a word of hope. Because in the end, you and I have this knowledge. Satan and the Antichrist will be defeated. And Jesus Christ and His will reign forever and ever. And the saints of God said, amen. This is a tough passage. The main thing today for us to know is maybe we need to talk to people this week. Hey, are you a heaven dweller or are you an earth dweller? Where's your home? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. If a person is chosen to reject God, God will one day abandon them to their choice. Let's pray for folks to be saved. Amen. Pray for Christians to live lives that will attract people to want to be saved. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. What a powerful passage of Scripture.